So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Let none of his words fall to the ground. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just ask in this moment that you would just move, that you would speak. I pray for a new level of faith for us in the room today. I pray for a new level of sensitivity to your word, to your movement, to your promptings. Everything you're calling us to, everything you desire for us. I pray that we would begin to walk in those desires. Holy Spirit, please move in this room. Guide us today. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Father. We know we have access to the throne room because that's what Jesus told us. So Jesus, we just ask in this moment for a breakthrough, that where there has been a block, where it's felt like there is something keeping us from gaining access to your presence, I pray that that would break today. That anyone that's felt far from you would feel near in this moment. Spirit, please drop on us in our midst today. We honor you. We honor Jesus. We honor the Father. In your name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How much of Scripture? Some of it? No, all of it. John 1, 1 through 5. And if you want to follow along, if you want my notes today, you can text Rev Notes, all one word, to 94,000. You can get all the Scriptures, everything I'm looking at up here. Just makes it a little bit easier for people to follow along. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot separate the Word from Him. You can't. All the way back in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. What did God do in the beginning? He spoke the word. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Without the word, nothing was made that was made. Everything you have, everything you say, everything you do, everything when you think of your life and everything that encompasses your life up to this point, don't fool yourselves for a second and think it was of your own power, of your own strength. There's nothing without him. There's nothing. His word brought everything into creation. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Number one, you can't honor Jesus unless you honor his word. You cannot separate the two. We live in a world where people want Jesus, but they don't want the Word. He is the Word. You can't have one without the other. That's a false Jesus. That's not the real Jesus. You cannot separate the Word from Him. He is the Word. But too many of us today, we look at what the Word says and we think, I don't really like that. I'm not comfortable with that. That sounds kind of Old Testament. That sounds kind of old-fashioned. I like New Testament Jesus. New Testament Jesus is the same as the Old Testament. He was there in the beginning. He was right there with the Father. He saw everything the Father did. When He comes in, it's not like He's coming in and He's like correcting the Father. He's not coming in and being like, sorry, my dad really messed up in the Old Testament. I know, he's kind of a jerk. He's a bully. No, He didn't do that. No. He came to fulfill the law. He honors the Father. He was under authority to the Father. He submitted Himself to the Father. He did not separate Himself from the Father. He submitted Himself to the Father. You cannot separate the two. You don't get to pick and choose. You cannot honor Jesus unless you honor His Word. Too many people say with their lips that they honor Jesus, but their actions would tell you otherwise. There's many in the world today that will say the right things. They'll say, oh, I love Jesus, I'm all about Jesus, but their actions show that they don't. They don't. John 14, verse 15. Here's Jesus. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Oh, but that's the Old Testament. We don't need to keep those anymore. No. If you love me, this is Him. Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He's with you. When you invite Jesus in, when you say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord and Savior, guess what? You're inviting Him in, His presence, His Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that dwelled within Jesus while He was here on earth, now dwells within you. But you can quench, you can grieve that Holy Spirit. The more you walk in disobedience, the more you walk outside of what He has for you. His commandments, they're not a burden, they're a blessing. Before, it was a burden for people. They tried. They kept trying to do it out of their own power, their own strength, and they thought that was what saved them. No. Your obedience doesn't save you. We walk in obedience because we've been saved. Because of how good He's been to you, that's why you walk in obedience. But too many people say that they love Jesus but continue walking in a path of disobedience. If that's you today and you're struggling with that, I do want to say something. Just begin to ask Him to change your heart. As you get convicted about this and you realize, oh, I've been making Jesus in my own image. What have you been doing? You've been making God in your own image. You've been making an idol of Jesus. You've been worshiping Him how you want to worship. You've been obeying Him how you want to obey Him, how you're comfortable with obeying Him. Like, I like the idea of heaven, but I don't really like the idea of changing what I'm doing right here and right now. And I kind of like this stuff, and this stuff's fun. It feels good. And I don't really care what His Word says because I think that's it doesn't really matter anymore. I'm saved by grace. So should we go on sinning? By no means. Paul told us that. By no means. Don't. And so just begin to ask Him to change your heart. I still remember getting convicted about this. And I'm driving home. I'm driving from my home back to college from the weekend. A long weekend of, here I was, this kid in Christian college, studying to be a minister, but going home on the weekends and doing whatever I felt like and making Jesus in my own image, saying, hey, I'm saved by grace. Don't judge me. Only God can judge me. Tupac said that. That's not in the Bible, all right? That's stupid. It's stupid. But I remember I I remember feeling convicted. I was like, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep doing, like what Paul says, I keep doing what I don't want to do. I keep doing this thing. I keep going back to it like a dog returning to the vomit. And I just keep going back to it. Lord, I was starting to get so numb. My conscience was seared. I was getting numb to it, but I knew it was wrong. And I just was looking for something. And I turned on just this Christian radio station out in the middle of western Nebraska. I don't even know where I was, but they start playing this sermon. And this preacher gets on and he says, you may not want to change, but you can pray this prayer. You can say, Lord, help me to want to change. And I'll never forget that. I prayed that prayer with him that day. And all of a sudden, I felt some of that hardness, the searing of my heart, it began to break. And my heart began to get softer to the things of God. But it's a process. Just like what Pastor Steph was saying, it's a process. Freedom is not about the destination. It's about the journey. He's had me on a journey of freedom. And I'm more free today than I was free back then. And I'm promising you, I'm going to be more free tomorrow than I was today. Because I'm going to keep walking with him. And there's greater and greater levels of freedom that he wants you to experience. So if you feel like you've been stuck, like you've been in the same place with him for a long time, and you just kind of keep going back to the same vomit over and over, but you want to get free, I want to tell you, you can get free. Because when I look back on my life, he's brought me out of things that I thought I could never get out of. He's brought me out of addictions I thought that could never get broken off my life. He wants to do that for you. So if you're struggling today, I just want to encourage you. You're right where God wants you to be. You're in his house, and you're submitting to his word. You're submitting to his voice just by being here today. And as you take a step of obedience, what does he do? He will honor that, and he'll begin to walk with you forward, and he will take you by the hand, and he'll walk you out of the darkness and into the light. And it's just a step-by-step journey, one day at a time. Let him walk you into freedom today. All it takes is one step of obedience. And all of a sudden, he begins to carry you along the path again. And he begins to illuminate your path. As you begin to get into the Word, we've got a few days left of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. You can get into the Word these next few days. We've still got these bookmarks in back. They got a different scripture for each day. You can get into the Word. And as you begin to get into his Word will change you and transform you. As you begin to honor his word the same way that you would honor Jesus as if he was in the room. Because guess what? He's in the room. But sometimes we live our lives like he's not here, he's far away, he's distant. No, no, no. He's here right now. And when you invite him into your life, it says, your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. That will change the way you live. All of a sudden, before you go and do some of that stuff that you were thinking about doing, and you get convicted, now that Pastor Alex just ruined all that for you, you're like, oh, shoot. Well, the Holy Spirit's in me? Well, I can't go do that. I can't go do this. I can't watch that. I can't look at that because he's here with you. It will change you. It will transform you as you begin to acknowledge his presence in your life. His presence changes things. As soon as he comes into the room, as soon as he comes into your life, he changes things. You'll never be the same. Verse 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. You can't say you love Jesus unless you are keeping his commandments. It's not talking about perfection. It's not talking, we don't have to keep the law anymore to be saved. We're saved by grace. But grace now empowers us to walk in obedience. Let me explain that. I have four kids. If they break a house rule, do I kick them out of the house? Am I like, all right, you're done, that's it? No. Like, God the Father is not doing that with you. As soon as you break a commandment, it's not like, oh, shoot, that's it, you're done. No, no, no. You're saved by grace. What we try to teach our kids in our house is look how much better things are for you when you walk in obedience. Because when you walk in disobedience, there's correction. Because that's what a loving father does. That's what loving parents do. They correct. Because they know that there's a better path. And if you keep walking in disobedience and rebellion your entire life, they can see the path ahead. Because a lot of us, we've walked that path and we know. Every time I've walked in disobedience, every time I've walked in rebellion, I can see where that led me. And it led me to darkness. It led me to isolation. It led me to brokenness. It led me to pain. It led me down a path that I did not like. By the time I got to the end and I realized, where am I going? I don't want this life anymore. So when we bring correction in our house, we remind our kids, things will go well for you. This comes straight out of the Old Testament. This is what God the Father was telling to Israel when they were in the wilderness. He was saying, things will go well for you if you walk in obedience to my voice. What's he saying? Honor the word. As you begin to honor God's word and his commandments and his statutes, what happens? You walk in the blessing. As you begin to walk down the path that he has for you, you begin to walk into a better life than you could have made or formed out of your own power, your own strength, or your own ideas of what is right and wrong. You can walk in the blessing. That's what obedience does. You don't have to walk in disobedience. The more you walk in disobedience, we tell our kids this, you don't like going to timeout. You don't like losing privileges. You don't like, you know, whatever our discipline is. If it gets really bad, hot sauce in the mouth. You don't like hot sauce in the mouth. Like, guess what? We don't want to give you hot sauce in the mouth. That's not fun for us either. You think we want to listen to you cry and ask for a cup of milk after that? No. Like, that's not fun. Okay? We don't want that. But we also know that the other option, where there's no correction, there's no discipline, is worse. A life of rebellion results in a wreck every time. And so we care too much about our kids to not correct and discipline them when they walk in disobedience. God the Father is the same way. He cares too much about you. He gave you his word, his laws, his commandments, not as a burden, but as a blessing. It's a path to walk in obedience so that you can walk in the blessing. And then his correction and discipline is just to get you back on the right path again. And so if you feel like you're going through some correction and discipline right now, maybe the Holy Spirit is kind of putting that on you, and you're kind of like, why does this keep happening? Well, look in the mirror. Don't look at God and be like, God, why are you doing this? Why are you so mean? No. Look internally. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says to examine yourselves, because that's why some of you are weak and sick and dying young. Some of you are weak and sick and dying before you're supposed to die. Why? Because you're not examining yourselves. You're not looking at your life in the mirror of the Word. When you begin to take your life and put it up to the mirror of the Word, and you let it look back at you, you let it reflect back at you, all of a sudden you begin to see things in clarity and you realize, oh, I'm not so righteous. I'm not so good. I'm not so deserving. Sometimes if we stop looking at the word, we begin to think we deserve all these things and we've earned all these things, and it comes from our own strength and our own might. But when you begin to look at the word, you realize, oh, I got some things to work on. I got some things I need to correct. And so I would tell you this today. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians. You can look that passage up later. 1 Corinthians, go there. But when you're struggling with some kind of sickness or weakness, like, if there's something going on in your body, just begin to sit with the Holy Spirit and ask him, Lord, is there something you want to reveal to me? Is there something you want to show me? Is there some place where I got out of line with your word and your order and your structure? Have I not honored your word in some area of my life? That's what Paul is saying there. And he's not saying it to be mean or hurtful. Some people are offended by that. And I just want to tell you, don't let offense become a rock that keeps you from walking in the obedience and the blessing that God wants you to walk in today. Don't let your offense become a rock. Don't let it become a stone. Don't let it become a dam. Don't let it dam you up. Instead, just go and sit with the Lord and just ask him, Lord, is there something you want to reveal to me? And just begin to listen and become sensitive to his voice. Is there something that begins to well up inside of you? A moment, a situation, just something where you got maybe a little out of line, a little just off the course that he wanted for your life, and you stepped into disobedience out of obedience. He's a good father and he loves you. That's all correction and discipline is. Don't look at it any other way. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be a lot of people that will say it. There's going to be a lot of people that will say, hey, I said Jesus is my Lord and Savior. What did your actions say? How did you live your life? I can say I'm married to Steph. I can say I love Pastor Steph. But if my actions say something else, if my actions say that I'm spending time over here and I'm spending time over there and I'm never spending time with her and our kids at home, do I really love them? No. That's not love. I can say it with my mouth, but if my actions don't line up, I haven't been changed and transformed by that love. I'm living by the world standard of love. I'm not living by God's standard of love. His standard shows us that love, it matches up in word and deed. It matches up together. Now, I will tell you this. If you struggle with it, begin to speak it out over your life. And the more you begin to speak it, the more you'll begin to believe it. The more you begin to declare it and say it, it will start to change and transform your mind and your heart. Your spirit will be transformed. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will. It's about doing. It's about the action. Who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. If you feel like that's you today, just ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see what it looks like to begin to walk in deed also, to walk in your will. He'll give you something simple. He'll bring something simple, just a simple step of obedience that he wants you to change and walk in today. If you just begin to ask him, he'll give you one simple thing to do. And as you say yes to that, and you begin to walk that out in your life, then he'll give you another, and he'll give you another. And just begin to line it up with his word. Because you know, if it's not in his word, then throw it out. But if it's in his word, if it matches up with what his word says, then you know it's from him. But the Lord wants to speak, and he speaks in multiple ways. He speaks through dreams. He speaks through visions. He'll give you a word. Sometimes he might even give you an audible word. The Holy Spirit loves to reveal himself. So begin to invite him in and become sensitive to his voice, to his promptings, to what he's saying. But discern his voice through the word. That's why you got to get into the word. You got to know the word so you can discern, because there's false spirits also. There's spirits in this world that want to deceive, that want to lead you away from the Father. Don't be fooled by them. Learn his word. Learn to love it, and you'll be able to discern those voices. Number two, your actions cannot be separated from honor. You can't walk in a life of honor without walking in a life of action. 1 Samuel 3, verse 19. Says this, so Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. Hold on to God's word. Carry God's word with you. Carry it in your heart, carry it in your mind. Hold on to it. Don't let any of them fall to the ground. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. What's he want you to do? He wants you to live and possess. He wants you to take dominion. But what's that connected to? Listening and living out his teachings, his judgments. What is he teaching you today? Verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. There's many who add and take away from the word. They pick and choose what they want from God's word today. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. This is where wisdom comes from. The wisdom of the world, it's foolishness. You can listen to a million podcasts, you can read every book you want, but if it doesn't come from His Word, you won't have true wisdom. You won't have wisdom that lasts. Do not add or take away from it. Number three, God's Word is not a buffet. We say this all the time. You go to a buffet and you want to pick and choose what you want, what you like. Our kids, they're picky eaters. Every meal, it's a battle sometimes. And sometimes we just got to give them whatever we made and just say, this is what you get. You might want chicken nuggets, but real chicken is better for you. You might not like what His Word says, but it's better for you. And as you begin to eat of it, guess what? Your body literally transforms. Just like when you begin to eat right, what happens to your body? It transforms. You begin to look different. If you begin to eat the right amount of protein and the right amounts of macros, like when you're talking about macros, like fats, carbs, protein, if you begin to eat the right amount of each one, what happens to your body? It changes. It transforms. If you begin to eat from the Word of God, your body, your soul, your spirit, everything, you will change. You will transform. You will not look the same. Eat from His Word. 1 John 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Once again, this comes back to obedience. You can say you love God, but if you hate your brother, if there's somebody that you are struggling with, you're offended with, that you hate and you're mad at, well, guess what? Go and make that right, because you can't say that you love God if you still have hate in your heart for somebody. This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten by him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. I grew up in a church, it was just hyper grace. You're saved by grace, you're saved by grace. It's all about grace. Don't worry about keeping anything. Don't worry about walking in obedience. None of that mattered. That's not what Jesus says. That was what men said, and it was built off tradition. Sometimes we build tradition. We build tradition off things with good intentions, because guess what? It is a great thing. It's a beautiful thing that we are saved by grace, that we don't have to save ourselves. Thank God, because we can. But then we miss out on the beauty of walking in obedience to the Lord. When we abuse His grace, what do? We make the cross meaningless. We make the cross meaningless. If we just go on sinning over and over and we just say, hey, we're saved by grace. It's okay. We can do whatever we want. We can live however we want. That's not why He died. He died so you can live in freedom, so that you wouldn't live as a slave to sin anymore. And so if you're a slave to sin, but you've convinced yourself, oh, no, I love Jesus. I'm saved by grace. No, you're not really free, but He wants to invite you into freedom today. At the end of the service, our ministry team will be up here. If you want to make that decision, if you want somebody to pray with you, you can come up. You can receive prayer today. Come find me. Come find one of the pastors. We'll pray with you. We're excited for you. If you want to make that decision to step out of slavery and into freedom, that's what He wants for your life. He's a good Father. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. It's not a burden anymore. The Holy Spirit will transform you, and all of a sudden, you'll begin to look at these things not as a burden, but as a blessing. Not as an obligation, but an opportunity. That's what it's about. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you don't walk in obedience to the Word, you don't actually believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you're picking and choosing which parts of the Word that you want, that you like, that you're okay with, you don't actually believe Jesus is the Son of God. You've made Jesus in your own image. 1 Samuel 2, verse 25. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father. This was about two rebellious, disobedient sons who were disobeying the priest at the time, Eli. And because the Lord desired to kill them, the priest's sons, the Lord desired to kill them. Verse 26, but the child, Samuel, grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. His own blood sons, the Lord desired to kill, but his spiritual son, Samuel, he showed him favor. What was the difference? The difference was obedience. The difference was obedience. Samuel was walking in obedience to the Lord. Those other sons, they were walking in disobedience. They were abusing their power in the temple. They were abusing their power in worship. They were taking advantage of God's people. They did not take his word seriously. Samuel took his word seriously. He walked in obedience. Number four, God's love is for everyone. His favor is for the righteous. God loves everyone, but his favor is for the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those who believe God's word and walking in it, that God's ways are right. That's what it means. To walk in righteousness is to walk in what God says is right. If you want God's favor on your life, you might be looking at your life right now and you might be thinking, I feel like I got no favor. Like everything is going wrong around me. Everything is just terrible and awful. Where's my favor, Lord? Like, Lord, it's not fair. I deserve some favor. And some people say that favor isn't fair. There's a lot of people that say that in the church. But I just want to challenge that a little bit. I want to tell you, favor is fair. It's not fair to those who are walking in disobedience because they see that and they say, well, I deserve that. I should get that. I want that. And it sounds like favoritism. And we think, no, God doesn't have favorites. That's not right. Because Jesus, he came and died for everyone. Yes. Because God loves everyone. But he favors the righteous. This hit me just a while back. I have two sons, Maverick and Jet. And Maverick struggles sometimes with feeling like I favor Jet. And like that means that I love him more. And so I sat down with him and I had this conversation because he was struggling with his behavior, with his listening, with disobedience in that season. And I sat down and I talked with him and I said, I love you both the same. But right now in this season, as you're walking in disobedience, you're right. I do show him favoritism because his heart is soft. And every time when I have to correct him, he repents. Every time when I correct you, you get more mad. You get more angry. I said, so son, I do love you both the same. But right now in this season, I favor him. This is a hard conversation to explain to children. It is. I didn't know it. I didn't understand it in my own life. I was like, why do I favor him? And the Holy Spirit just dropped that on me. But that's a hard lesson to teach your kids. But I'll tell you this, since that conversation, he's beginning to change and he's beginning to transform. And all of a sudden, I am seeing less of a hard heart and I'm seeing more of a heart that's repentant, a more of a heart that desires to walk in obedience, and it's changing our relationship. And so it might be hard to have some of those honest conversations sometimes. And I would tell you, if you have kids, be delicate with those conversations. Be gentle with them. But we love our kids the same. And God the Father is no different. In fact, he's much better. He's a better father than us. But favor goes hand in hand with obedience, with a repentant, soft heart. There's a different level of favor that he wants to pour onto your life. God desires to pour that favor onto your life. But will you soften your heart? Will you ask him to soften your heart and to walk in repentance? And the things you've been holding on to that are disobedient to him, to his word, would you just ask him to help you to change the desires of your heart, that you would begin to desire what he desires over what the world desires? over the things in this world that you've been chasing after, the things that you thought would make you happy, the things that you thought would set you free, would you just ask him to change and transform your heart? And it will change the level of favor over your life as you soften your heart and you become repentant and walk in obedience to him. You might be here today and feel like you're not God's favorite, but that's going to change. He's going to pour his favor out on you. That's what repentance does. Why was David called a man after God's own heart? I believe it was because every time he was confronted with his sin, his heart was soft and he was repentant to the Lord. That's why I believe he's called a man after God's own heart. Let your heart be softened today. I feel that right now in the room. I feel somebody's heart just got softer. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to pour his favor out on you. He desires that. But his favor is reserved for the righteous, for those who walk in what God says is right. Psalm 5, 11 through 12. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. There's a blessing for the righteous, and there's favor that will surround you like a shield as you step into a life of obedience. Worship team, I'll invite you up as we get ready to close. Number five, obedience brings healing. Obedience brings healing. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to jump around a little bit here in Proverbs chapter 4. 4 verse 2 says this, "For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law." He's giving you something good here. I told you a few weeks back, get a Bible, get a real Bible. Don't just read on your phone. Get a real Bible that you can hold on to, that you can highlight, that you can underline, that you can look at, that you can pull out, that you can give to your kids someday. And realize what he's given you, it's a gift. It's a good gift. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, "Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." There's going to be a season where you're going to be tempted to forget. When things are going well, when you're walking in the blessing, when you're walking in the favor, those are the seasons when the devil will try to tempt you to forget. You don't need him anymore. You're good. You've made it. You've arrived. No, no, no. What did we say in the beginning? Freedom is not a destination. It's a journey. You've never arrived. There's always more of him, more of his presence, more of his power to experience. Will you chase that in this next season? Will you chase that? Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her. Love wisdom, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. Some of you, you've been looking for a promotion. You've been feeling like you're stuck. You've been feeling like there's that glass ceiling over your head, over your life. Just begin to seek wisdom. And what's she going to do for you? She's going to promote you. You don't need man to promote you. You don't need the CEO to promote you. You don't need the boss to promote you. If you begin to exalt wisdom in your life, people will see that on your life. And the Holy Spirit will bring promotion in the right season. He'll bring favor on your life that you never realized or thought was possible. There's some of you, you got this idea of what you want your life to look like. If you'll just seek wisdom in this season, if you'll stop striving to make it happen out of your own power and your own strength, she's going to promote you. Wisdom will promote you. His Holy Spirit will promote you. She'll bring you honor. Some of you, you've been striving for honor. You've been fighting for it. You've been fighting for respect. You desire it in your life. But if you would just honor his word first, honor will come naturally to you. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. If you're sick of stumbling through life, take hold of wisdom. Verse 13, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless you make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Would you stand up as we read this last part here? Let's honor his word as we stand. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. He's not just saying that. Take God at his word today. His word will bring literal health to your flesh. It will bring healing to your bones. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. What does your mouth look like? Do you speak lies? Are you talking in a way that you should not talk? Are you talking in a way that a temple of the Holy Spirit should not speak? Let him convict you in this moment and be changed and transformed. Let your heart be soft. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this moment. Holy Spirit, I just believe that every time your word goes out, it never returns void. I pray right now that there's a seed planted in this room today in somebody's heart, and it's going to change them and transform them. Holy Spirit, I just ask that they would feel your fire and your presence right here, right now, to know that it's confirmation. That as they begin to soften their hearts, I pray that it will be broken off them, the hardness, the disobedience, that they would just begin to repent and turn to you. And that as they repent and turn back to you, they would feel the warmth of your embrace. They would feel closeness to you like they've never felt. And they'd begin to see your favor being poured out on their lives. That they'd begin to see little signs this week of your favor showing up as they begin to walk in righteousness. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would desire righteousness over our own will, over what we say is right. I pray for a transformation of hearts in this room today, that we would never be the same as we walk out of here. Holy Spirit, we honor you. Jesus, we honor you. Father, we honor you because we honor the word. Let us be a house that always honors your word, that does not take it lightly, but that carries your word with us as a heavy presence. As a presence that's more valuable than gold, than silver. Lord, let us take you at your word today. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.